This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, bringing you another study from God's Word. And we're looking at a study in the Book of Revelations, or the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Old Trailblazer asking you to pray for me day by day. I need your prayers. Many of you know that I butcher the King's English up, and I'm not very smart or intellectual, but I ask you to pray for me and then help me with the broadcast. We're just sending out the gospel day by day over these many great radio stations. And if I'd like to know where you're listening, we're bringing you a series of studies now on the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've been there several studies already, and we're just getting started, really. But the Book of Revelation, I want us to look at it. It's a prophetic book. It is a book of prophecy which deals with the revelation of Christ. That's the sole subject. That's the sole purpose of this book. It's not a sealed book, but an open book. It's to be read, to be heard, and to be kept. In the third verse of the first chapter, we read, "Blessed is he that readeth." Blessed is he that readeth. Now, doesn't that bless your heart, my friend? And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The ignorance and blindness of the present day church on this great teaching or prophetic message of the Book of Revelation is nothing short of a tragedy. It is a result of this ignorance. Our people are in spiritual darkness, floundering, and have no concept of what we are up against or what we face or where we're going. And they don't realize that we're so near the Lord's return. Now, I say that often. I believe that we are in the last days. The Bible says that those things will come to pass. What things? All the things such as was in Noah's day. Eating and drinking and building and marrying and giving in marriage. All those things are happening right now. And then we see the Antichrist stamp on everything you see now, my friend. All of the one currency, one this, one that. Oh, listen. Listen, my friend, it ought to scare you to death. I saw in the paper where in one of our countries over there in Europe, where they now are putting a chip under your skin that gives you all your medical information. If you go to the hospital, it'll tell if you have diabetes or heart trouble or whatever, what kind of medicine you're allergic to, just because of a chip half the size of a grain of rice embedded under the skin of your hand. Now, my friend, that ought to scare you to death. And then all the credit cards, what it's leading to, the computers, all of those things. Don't put your head in the sand, my folks. In our present study, we want to take up now chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, which is known as the salutation. With your Bibles in hand, and I hope you'll read with me, with your Bibles in hand, let's read those verses. "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved or loveth us, and washed, loosed us from our sin in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." The Lord Jesus Christ here addressed himself to the Apostle John and gave him this message for the seven churches there in Asia Minor. Let's name those churches. First, there was Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. There were more than just these seven churches scattered across that section, but the Lord Jesus sent the message to these seven distinct local New Testament churches, which are representative churches of the entire church age. We'll go into that more definitely when we come to the second and third chapters, which are the seven letters that which the Lord sent directly to these seven churches. Now, He opens this salutation with these words, "Grace be unto you and peace." That word, grace. Back there, many, 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 many centuries ago, when two brethren met, they said, "Grace, grace be unto you, my brother." And the other one would answer, "Grace be unto you, my brother." Wouldn't that be a good way to do now? No, we scowl and frown and criticize everybody we meet. What emotion that word arouses in the heart of that individual who has been saved by the grace of God. We sang that old song here, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." And then I see in the paper, maybe on the news once in a while, where one of these old whoremongers or reprobates or dying or buried out there somewhere, and all the celebrities come, and they hire a high-powered singer to sing "Amazing Grace" over that man's tomb or over his grave. Now, my friend, that's diabolical to the core. That's blasphemous to the out to as far as you can get. They want to put some sort of credence, some sort of a religious connotation onto this man's life, who was nothing but a whoremonger, nothing but an old reprobate, maybe a homosexual. But they want to make like, because God's grace. That beautiful old song. You know who wrote that song, "Amazing Grace"? Oh, Mr. John Newton. Yes, he was an old slave trader. He was an old whoremonger. He was, but the Lord got a hold to his heart and saved him. And I believe now it's a disgrace to sing that song over those people grave. And then they change the tune of it, and they sing it at all sorts of functions and all those things. But listen, grace is the inexhaustible riches, the boundless goodness and kindness of God towards lost sinners. Grace is nothing less than the unlimited love of God expressing itself in measureless grace as he reaches down through the atoning blood of the Son of God and by the power of his Spirit to rescue fallen humanity. Oh, someone has said that the hand of grace holds, the hand of faith holds grace. When the hand of faith is reached out, it holds grace there, my friend. Grace is bestowed upon a poor. Sure, we say, well, it's a free will, unmerited favor of God. But oh, how much more? How much more? Grace is God's abounding provision through the operation of his infinite or unlimited love that reaches down to the vortex of hell and takes a son of Satan and lifts him to heaven, transforming into a son of God. Grace is one of the greatest words in the Holy Bible. Grace is not what man does for God, but what God does for fallen man. I sit here this morning or tonight before this microphone as a recipient, as an object of God's grace. Yes, as a trophy of God's grace. Do you know when we get to heaven, we'll shine as a trophy of God's grace. We'll be there, not because of who we are, not because of some great thing that we've done, no. But we'll be there as a trophy. We'll be there as one of God's jewels. As he makes up his jewels, it'll be because of his grace. When the Lord God of heaven has quickened or made alive the spirit of a sinner, dead in trespasses and sin by the power of his Holy Spirit, and has brought that sinner to see his lost, undone condition, to see that he's utterly guilty, utterly deserved to die, to see that the sentence of death hangs over him, and that he is under the curse of the broken law. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, and under the wrath of a sin-avenging God who must punish sin, and then is brought to see that Christ died for such a lost, hell-deserving, guilty sinner, and that all of his sins are paid for in Christ. Now, we can stop right there for a few moments and look there, that sinner, like you and like me, Oh, you say, well, don't call me a sinner. I have folks write me, folks. And they say, Pastor, Trailblazer, don't call me a sinner. I'm not a sinner. But my friend, did you know Christ came to seek and to save sinners? I told my congregation here one night, I said, the greatest recommendation that you have is that you're a sinner. We used to have a man here, worked around the office, and he'd sing this little song. My name is Jack, and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. They called him Happy Jack. I'm just Happy Jack and nothing at all. But my friend, that's me this morning. I'm just the old Trailblazer and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all. Am I what I want to be? No. Am I what I used to be? No. But listen, my friend, I'm not what I used to be. Oh, listen, grace makes a difference, my friend. Grace makes a difference. Christ is our peace, and peace is the result of the grace of God shed abroad in the sinner's heart. That brings peace. Oh, you can join every church you want to. That doesn't bring any peace. No, you can shake the preacher's hand, walk the sawdust trail. You can do all those things. That don't bring peace, my friend. That doesn't bring you peace. What brings peace? Grace. Grace, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, sister, I asked you, kindly, gently, do you have that peace? Do you know anything about the peace of God? Oh, listen, are you on praying terms with the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you go there at a moment's notice? In a moment, and get an audience with the Lord. You know, we have such a big hullabaloo over the Pope and all this stuff, and folks wait for years to get an audience with the Pope. My friend, that's all malarkey. I can get an audience with the Lord Jesus Christ in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I can go there and confess my sin and ask for forgiveness and then ask for blessing. Lord, bless me. Lord, save my folks. Lord, save my congregation. Lord, supply the needs of this ministry. Lord, give me grace day by day to stand true to the souls of men. Lord, would you do that? I can do that in a moment's notice. I don't have to have a special invitation. I have a special invitation. The Lord tells me, come now and let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet. And I do that. I come there and I say, Lord, you said in your word for me to come. And here I am. I'm coming. I'll be back. I'm coming again. And that's what I do day by day. You say, old Trailblazer, you're just an old crackpot. Well, let me be a crackpot for Christ's sake. Now, listen, one thing about it. I've told folks, the only way you can enjoy the Lord more than I do is to be bigger than me. And I'm 6'1" and weigh about 230 pounds, so you know about how big I am. If you enjoy the Lord more than I do, you just bigger than me. You just take up more space than I do. But I asked you, is Christ real to your heart? You say, well, I get tired of hearing that. Well, turn the station. Turn this tape off. Turn the radio off. Go somewhere else and listen to some rock group or something singing some kind of jive. But my friend, don't do it. Don't do it. Stay with me. Would you do that? This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. I long to hear from you. Would you write me? My mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.
This month, Radio Missions is offering a new flash drive containing the original Old Trailblazer broadcasts as presented by Pastor L.R. Shelton in the early days of the ministry. These flash drives contain over 100 historic messages with sound effects. Each flash drive is $15 postpaid. For information, call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658.